Good evening, Kim Ruggieri, Director of Human Resources. For teachers, we don't really have an idea because it's all done through the state. It's not through us at all. And it all is a rule of 95. So it's their service time plus their age. So it all depends on if they've had any unpaid time, if they've taken leave of absences. So we could think that somebody's close, but they actually have 2 more years to go. They don't know until they actually meet with their counselor with ERSRI. And we don't know that until they've done that. We have an idea sometimes. People will tell us they're thinking about it.
So I understand that. So you have an idea. So you do not work into your budget forecast. We anticipate having 10 teachers retire in this coming school year. So you leave that number at zero is what you're saying.
When we figure our staffing, we don't figure it that way. We figure based on student enrollment and student need. So it's basically irrelevant how many retire. It's how many teachers we need in classrooms.
I understand that, but it does matter in your calculations of your budget. For example, I taught, and when I left Davies, I was a top step teacher with, as I say, all the bells and whistles. So if they anticipated I'd be leaving, they would say, well, Mr. Foley's salary and benefits is $150,000. And if he leaves the social study classroom, we might be able to hire someone as low as third step or someone fresh out of college who is going to make $75,000. So my question is, you're saying that calculation you don't do that calculation at all when you prepare your budget.
So the finance department does do that. They call it the breakage number.
They do or do not?
The finance department does. Human resources does not.
Okay.
But what I have done the past 3 years is I take an average of all the new hires. And in the past 3 years, it's been a 6.4 average step that's come in. We're not getting step ones and twos. As a matter of fact, in the district right now, we have 3 teachers at step one.
Okay. So again, the difference between step 10 and step 6.5 is substantial. So that so this year in this budget that you're projecting for next school year, how many retirements are you projecting?
Again, the finance department does that. I don't do that section, so I don't know.
But who does do that?
The finance department, the director of finance typically does that.
Isn't there a communication between those departments when you set your budget? So somewhere, isn't there a line item that or some calculation on savings because you're anticipating 10 teachers
typically
retiring?
We do put breakage into the budget. With breakage, it varies. In 2024, we had a breakage number that was, I believe it was around $2 million. We didn't achieve that. We're very leery of using breakage this year. As you know, we've gone through a difficult budget. And in prepping, we want to make sure we get this number right. I would also say with retirements for teachers now, they typically retire on their birthday. For myself, my birthday is October 30th. So when I do get to that point where I could retire, it wouldn't be June 30th. It would be on my birthday. The way they have it structured now, it isn't you can retire. Yeah. At the end of the school year, you're going to end up retiring throughout the year. So as people have retired, we have replaced positions. So it's,
well, and again, I understand all that completely, having been a teacher myself. Yep. And what I did as a teacher and being concerned about my students and being concerned about my school, I knew I was retiring on December 30th, 8 years ago.
Sure.
I notified my administration on January 3rd. That's when we started the next semester. The year of that year, I gave them 12 months notice, and I dated my resignation letter, my retirement letter, to December 30th of that year.
Yep.
So that they could plan, they could anticipate A, not having my salary, sure, replacing me. I voluntarily took a less senior schedule. As a matter of fact, I was teaching seniors. I gave that up to teach freshmen so that
that's why you retired, huh?
Well, so that the seniors didn't have to deal with a brand new teacher at mid-year. I gave up my classroom, which was one of the best in the building, so that, again, at mid-year, people wouldn't have to transfer, you know, change things. I'm not doing that to get a pat on the back. I'm just saying there's ways to forecast and predict so that it's a benefit to me.
Sure.
And it's a benefit to the schools, and it's a benefit to the city. And I'm just trying to ascertain that some type of calculation
is going into the budget. We did not put breakage into this budget.
All right, thank you.
We have in the past. Some years we have achieved the number. 2 years ago, we did not. We don't want to take a risk this year with breakage. So it's not in this budget.
Thank you.
Councilman Muto.
Okay, just a couple of questions. So just to follow up with what Mr. Foley was asking, Ms. Superintendent, early on, Kim Ruggieri did send me an email of known retirements.
Sure.
What number is that?
If Kim sent it, I'll ask Kim. Known retirements. Do you know, was it the sheet that went to the council president?
No, it was
an email that went directly to you or to the council president?
I definitely got the email, and at that time, it was about two months ago, it was seven people on it. I just wanted to confirm if that was still the case or if that has grown since then.
If that's what she had given at the time, we had seven at that time.
Okay, so that seven is not counted in your reduction staff.
Well, depending upon the positions, it might be.
Okay. That's why I'm trying to get the clarification. Earlier you said it wasn't counted, the breakage wasn't counted, but...
No. What you're saying is, was the position counted in the development of the FY26 budget, or was it counted in breakage? Okay. We did not count breakage for those seven teachers that retired because the position might have been eliminated where we did take the position itself.
Okay.
And that would have counted.
Okay. So retirement is not in the 45 positions?
Breakage is not in there. Elimination, reduction, yes. There's $3.35 million in the budget of a reduction from those positions.
Okay. And just one more time, just so it's very, very clear. The retirements are not in that 45.
I would have to look at the data and get it to you tomorrow.
Okay. I appreciate that.
But there is a reduction of positions that total $3.35 million.
Okay.
I think what you're asking is there are 20 positions that are reduced.
Yes.
There are 16 layoffs. So four positions were lost by attrition.
Okay.
Is that the question you're asking?
What I'm trying to get
at.
Yeah. So we're really reducing the impact on 16 people. What I'm trying to do is understand the impact of the people. It's not 20, it's 16. It's still a tough number, but it's still.
So those four retirements are actually, we realize, a bigger savings because those are the higher step teachers. For the other 16, it ends up with the, you know, going through seniority. So those end up to be lower step teachers.
Great. No, that's, thank you. That's what I was trying to get at. And just so we level set with the numbers here. So with the new numbers that came out, which is the 196,636,988. And what the school committee asks is 198,162,060. We have a delta of 1,525,000.
Yes.
Are we on the same page there?
Yes.
So we're looking at a potential savings. You know, again, we still have a lot of work ahead. We have a potential savings of about $1 million on the health care, works out.
And it's subject to contractual clauses we have now with our current carrier, and also contractual clauses. When can the new plan be up and running to achieve that savings? So it may not be a whole year. It might be 10 months of a year that the savings would occur. So those are two other variables we have to look into.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is we're closing this gap.
Yes.
Okay. We're closing the gap. We have a couple of months to close it with additional work, additional savings, additional streamlining, right?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a good thing.
It is a good thing. And again, Bill and I have had an interesting relationship over the last several months. I love him.
It's been spirited.
It's been intense, but we are making progress.
Absolutely.
And we were at a financial cliff. We still have some challenges.
Sure.
But we're closing the gap. All right. So
we'll get
us all on the same page here.
We'll get there.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilman Lattiser.
Bill, to follow up on the question that Councilman Foley asked,
yes,
how many students less do we have? I believe the sheet that I have in front of me was one that you sent me. It was the RIDE October 1st enrollment sheet.
Yep.
Okay. You're showing in student population from 2018 through 2025 a decline of 947 students. From 2023-24 to 2025, you're showing a decline in the amount of 61 students. However, what I'm not sure about is in the special ed population, is that's in addition to the 7,853?
The special ed population since 2018 has grown. The numbers have grown.
No, but my question is, the student population and special ed population, those numbers are going to be added together to get the population?
Yes.
Okay. So,
what was that again?
Those two numbers have to be added together to give us the total population?
We have a total population.
You've got to make sure to speak right in the mic.
I'd have to see the sheet you're looking at and the sheet that you have there.
May I approach?
Yeah, sure. I just want to see the sheet he has. Let me take a look. I didn't send you the sheet. Who sent you the sheet, you know? The 78 is the total. Yep. You want me to hang on? Will you have your questions? Or? Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Testa, on who sent me the sheet. I didn't make a notation on it. So there's a decline of 61 students from 2018 to current day. The other thing that I have, again, I need to make better notes as to who emails this stuff to me. As the council president knows, I'm not the greatest with emails. And it says Warwick schools have seen a decline in enrollment from 10,979 students in 2010 to 8,883 students in 2018. That's an 8-year period. In order to address the decline in enrollment, multiple schools have been closed and staff in every area have been reduced. So from 2018 to current day, you've lost another 947 students. So just putting that out there for the record to follow up on the question that Councilman Foley had asked. That's all.
Okay.
Do any of the members of the council have anything for the school department? Councilman Knapp?
Just one thought, not so much a question, Bill, but just overall, there were some conversations today with Director Carlucci and some conversations I've had going on with Councilman Muto and Chairman Galligan. I think it's important to, when we have this $1.5 million gap that we've now know we need to reconcile somehow. No doubt we have issues on the school side in addition to issues on the city side as far as budget. We have those year over year. I think there needs to be some real thought given to sharing costs and cost share on technologies like the Munis system. And from what I understand, you guys are using SIS. We use a different side of Munis than those. Director Carlucci confirmed for me today that if we do merge, you can maintain your autonomy within that system and have a net savings across the board. I think there needs to be some real work and effort put into more cost-saving technologies. We don't need to pay for two-unit user licenses on all of these different technologies that we're all using the same thing. So more collaborative effort as far as cost share only makes sense to make these gaps that we have in funding more palatable, and we can share savings on both sides of the coin. So I would just implore you, with your collaborative work with the commission moving forward, to be open to and exploring, and I'd ask the administration to be open to exploring those cost-saving options that may, it's going to alter the way we do business, and the same stuff we do all the time is clearly not working. So let's change it. Let's see if we can cost share and spread the butter a little bit thinner across both sides. So I would just ask that you entertain that and give that some thought and real effort. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Yeah, and it stands worth noting that for those who haven't been following along on the year, over the years, the relationship between the school department, school committee, and the city council has gone from, I think it's safe to say, very bad to extremely collaborative. School department, the school committee, it's like night and day as far as transparency and making efforts to make things work. I mean, you can tell just by tonight where the mayor offered to switch over funds in addition to the allocation, whereas years ago that wouldn't have happened. In fact, years ago, I think it did happen. That exact situation where the money went back into the surplus instead. So it's clear that we have made leaps and bounds progress more than I've seen for years being on council and having watched council prior. So for those who still seem to be of the opinion that the relationship is antagonistic, I promise you, you couldn't be more wrong. And I encourage you to talk to either us, if you have that opinion about us, or the school committee and school department, if you have that opinion about them, because I'm sure they or us will gladly set the record straight in that regard. That's why we meet so often in small groups when we can. That's why we're constantly on the phone trying to get things done and trying to make things work. And that's why even the Budget Commission, which was seen as gloom and doom by some, has turned it into something that helps all parties, which is exactly what we were hoping. And as far as for the public, Councilman Gebhardt, my understanding is you have a statement from a member of the public you wanted to read in.
We're going there now? You want me to do that?
If you're ready. If not, we can.
Yeah, give me a quick second. Of course. Okay. Yes. So the Cedar Hill PTO had prepared a brief statement. They weren't able to make it tonight, so I told them I would read it into the record for them. Good evening, honorable members of the council. We are here tonight as representatives of Cedar Hill Elementary PTO, not as financial experts, but as parents, caregivers, and advocates for Warwick's children. We understand that the proposed budget includes only a small increase, slightly larger now, in funding for the Warwick Public Schools, an increase that is well below what the district has requested. We also understand that the city has established a budget commission to review the school department's finances. While we were not directly involved in the commission's work, we respect the effort to understand the challenges facing our district. Our request is simple: please prioritize our schools. A strong, responsibly funded public education system is vital to the success of our students, our families, and the future of the city. That includes making sure we have the resources to support all of our students, especially those with specialized needs. Programs that serve students with learning disabilities, and other individualized support needs are not optional, they are essential. When we underfund these services, we risk leaving behind the very students who depend on us the most. We recognize the difficult choices involved in building a city budget, but we urge you to weigh those trade-offs with our children in mind. Investing in public education fully, fairly, and with a long-term view benefits everyone in Warwick. Thank you for your time and for your continued service to our community.
Do any other members of the public wish to comment on the school department?
Mr. President, can I read a closing statement?
Do you want to do it now or after the?
I can do it after the public.
All right. Ms. Sheridan?
Hi, Ann Sheridan. Quick question. There is no allocation for professional development.
Hold on. Make sure to keep. Even though it seems impolite, just talk straight to the mic instead of turning.
So, looking at the proposed budget, there is an absence of professional development. And it's been around $140,000.
Dr. Schiltz will answer this. Recently, we have completed training our teachers in the Right to Read Act, but she can further discuss professional development.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I said we have recently completed all our professional development related to the Right to Read Act, which all teachers are required to complete in Rhode Island. But Dr. Schiltz will give you additional information on our professional development.
That's a great question. And we've basically cut everything that we possibly could out of the budget, including professional development, to the point where we would have to fund days in addition to the teacher's salaries to make it a longer school year. The past 3 years, the Department of Ed has given us days for professional development, but in order to save money and keep the school system running appropriately, we had to take those 3 days out of the calendar. And so we have one professional development day this year. We're going to be embedding the development throughout the course of the school days with coverage by other teachers, substitute teachers, things like that. So it's still happening, but it's going to be in a different line item and mostly teacher led.
Can you just identify yourself for the record?
Yes, my name is Lisa Schiltz. I'm the curriculum director. Sorry about that.
No worries. And I know it's going to be awkward, but for whenever someone else switches the mic, just make sure you identify yourself, because some people are only have audio and they're just listening in, so they can't see the fact that people are switching.
On a $200 million budget, I would hope that we're not being foolish and that we give the teachers the opportunity to take professional development as they can. I mean, $140,000 out of $200 million is nothing. Okay. So, and another question I have is, you've mentioned that you've cut $3 million, $3+ million in salaries, but there's a $3+ million increase in contributions to pensions.
We adjusted that. There was a $750,000 addition to the pension contribution. There was an additional $1 million contribution to the pension system, plus what the actuary had recommended for the WISE union. And the additional amount put into the pension was to accelerate the payback to the system so it maintains its fund rating of approximately 81-82%.
Okay.
We want to be responsible with the pension system and make sure it right. maintains a high level.
Right, and so that's the teachers as well as WISE is around 82%.
Say that again.
The teachers' pension as well as the WISE pensions are around 82%. That's the goal for this year.
The WISE pension is approximately 82%. The last time that we had a rating sheet out on that pension fund, the state pension system, I can't speak to what the rating of that is.
Right. Well, what are we contributing at a rate higher than 80% or 82%?
We're contributing based upon what the actuarial had recommended to the fund. We did not fund the pension system for 2 years. It's the responsible thing to do is to fund the pension system so it maintains its level, to make sure that we can pay the benefit that we've guaranteed people who have retired from the district.
And I have one other question. I'm confused. We started out with announcing that the school department had approximately a $5.4 million. That was the latest deficit for this beginning fiscal year.
The deficit projection after it was reviewed by Diane Brennan was approximately $9 million. After cuts had been made, it had been reduced down to $6.8 million. We still haven't completed the year, so that we could be able to achieve a lower deficit than that. And the other issue that is complicating the issue would be the completion of the 24 audit. With that, there is a small amount, I believe $449,000, that is carrying into this fiscal year. And once the audited statements are released, we'll have the exact dollar amount.
So my question is, if we have, and it's very simple, and I have a very simple approach to this. If we have roughly a $5 million deficit, that means $5 million was spent. Where is that money coming from to meet those obligations? What funds are you having that are short? Do we have $5 million in bills that aren't paid, which I'm assuming not? No, so where is the $5 million coming from? I know there's a projection to reimburse over time, but...
How the deficit is handled at the end of the year will be determined between the City of Warwick, the School Budget Commission, and the Auditor General, and how that needs to be handled, whether it's taken out of the fund balance and repaid by the school department, whether it's taken out of the fund balance and treated with having a value added to it as a loan. That's all will all be stipulated by the City of Warwick, obviously the mayor, the City Council, Auditor General, and then the School Budget Commission. That's beyond my authority to make that decision. That sits with the Auditor General and how the mayor and the City Council and the Budget Commission wants to handle it.
Can you tell me how much the fund budget is?
Excuse me?
How much does the school department have as a fund balance?
We don't have a fund balance like the city. If we finish the year and we have a surplus, the surplus would carry into the next year's budget, but it's not a fund balance.
So I'm still confused. There's $5 million that has to be met.
I'm thinking about
my personal budget. If
sure.
I overspend, I've got to come up with the money to meet the balance. So sure. Where are we coming up with this money?
Want me to answer a question where I don't have the answer to. I did tell you who will make that decision. And once that decision's made, I'd be more than happy to give you that information.
Thank you. Thank you all.
So just make sure you identify yourself.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Landry. I am a teacher at Tollgate High School. Earlier this afternoon, a person outside claimed that teachers can't do math. So I'm going to do a little math here that I figured out this evening sitting here. Even though I'm a science teacher, I think I can do a little bit of math. I'm looking at the pie chart in the general funds budget. There's a pie chart on page 6. And according to this pie chart, the schools account for 51.1% of the total budget, while public safety, which I'm assuming is police and fire. Am I right on that? Is public safety police and fire?
Should that be a question for the administration?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I just want to make sure I'm right. The public safety budget is 15.5% of the total pie chart. So I did a little bit of math, and according to your numbers in this document, budget personnel funds, there are about 232 employees of the police department and 237 employees of the fire department, which totals 469 employees in public safety. For the schools, there's roughly 865 teachers, roughly 400 support staff in the WISE union, and about 100 middle management positions, totaling about 1,365 people. So the school employees are 2.7 times that of public safety. And the school budget is about 3.3 times that of the public safety budget. So those numbers seem to coincide in my mind. They're around 3. We have 3 times more people, so therefore we have 3 times the budget. That just makes sense to me. The other thing is that the schools, so that was that comment. And then I have one more question. And in this package called General Funds, on page VIII, the mayor is quoted as saying he is committed to investing in and improving our community. And then I read on that there will be 62 single-family units being built in the old schools locations. I think it's Wicks is one and maybe Rhodes, I'm not sure. 214 units at the 2119 Post Road location, 297 residential units at the Interlink location. And my question is, are you assuming that none of these will have school-aged children? I mean, obviously, we're going to have more kids coming into the district as this development goes on. And I'm wondering, is the mayor warning people coming into the district that we are not fully funding the schools compared to the rest of the city? And is it okay to offer new hotels and restaurants as a selling point for Warwick, but not first-rate schools? That would be my question.
Hi, my name is Nikki Green, math interventionist at Holloman. I'm also one of the district math leads in the elementary school, and my colleague, the other district lead, is here as well. I'm a veteran teacher of 28 years, proud veteran teacher. I've been a special educator, a classroom teacher, and now a math interventionist. I'm here tonight because I wanted to address some of the comments that were made at last week's meeting to maybe clarify, explain, and to ask you to think bigger. Last week, I realized there are time constraints, but school committee chair Mr. Galligan's presentation was almost cut short in regards to special education, and that lacks transparency, and that was concerning as a special educator and a parent of a special educator. Yes.
Please try to keep it on topic to the school budget, school department budget request. Okay.
Cutting 45 positions, 20 WTU, 25 Ys, and potentially more if the school department does not receive the funding it needs to function is quite worrisome. Every year we seem to be cutting more and more positions, and the schools are already stretched extremely thin. So many positions have been reduced over the years, and honestly, these cuts will significantly impact student learning. For example, on Friday at 3:15, my colleagues were informed that their position was cut. We went from 14 interventionist positions, one full-time at every school, to now being split between two schools. This means that students who are below grade level expectations will receive less support. Our role is to help close the learning gap and bring those students to grade level expectations. Our role is also to assess students who potentially may need special education. And we bring those concerns to the IEP team. With less students being serviced by us, more students could potentially fall behind grade level expectations. A comment was made about career in tech. I don't know how you could be more off the mark with this. Approximately 10 years ago, the Scituate School Department realized that many of their students were leaving their district. You're asking why our students are leaving? This is why they are leaving. To attend Ponagansett High School, as they have one of the best career and tech programs in the state. Instead of cutting CTE, they invested in their district, and now their programs rival that of Ponagansett. As a board member of the STEM advisory group through RIDE, many representatives from local STEM industries commented on the need for more CTE and said, we need more. We need to expand to the middle school. They gave this example. For every 50 welders that retire at Electric Boat in Quonset or in Groton, there are only 10 to fill those positions. Those are high-paying positions, probably more than what I make. The demand is high, and we as a district need to capitalize on that need. He stated, we are the submarine capital of the world. Do we have a welding program here at Warwick? I don't think so. We do.
Okay. We do.
I'm at elementary. But these spots would then be able to fill. Other public and private schools have sports facilities that are state of the art. There's another reason why our students are leaving. Finally, we need to recognize that not all students can or want to attend a four-year college. We need to provide learning opportunities for all our students. I have a lot more here, but I want to be respectful of your time. I emailed all of you directly. My last comment is about how we take up 80% of your budget. And you mentioned you're a former teacher. Many of us were hired in the late 90s. We had to go back to school and get our master's. You're top heavy with teachers with 28 to 35 years, master's degrees plus. I was on my way to a second master's degree. You're paying a lot for me. I could have retired this year, but Gina Raimondo changed that. So trust me, I would love to retire and let you hire two more teachers who could take my spot. I can't go anywhere for 12 years. I've been speaking to representatives and anyone that will listen, because this problem is catastrophic. If you think it's bad now, it will be worse in 5 years, because we cannot go anywhere. So to wrap it up, Council Muto, you mentioned how much you love Stone Soup. I'm also a reading specialist. I love that book too. But I think what we're missing, and you made a great analogy, but we're missing the moral. The moral is that the importance of sharing and working together. Yes, we've come a long way. We have a lot farther to go, and we need to work together. Thank you.
Hi, so let's, just as a level set, let's try to make sure we stay on topic. We're discussing the school department budget ask, which, because this is before the city council, is just one line item. It's yes to that amount, no to that amount, and do we modify that amount? We don't get to weigh in to what may or may not be cut. And as it was already pointed out here tonight by the superintendent, there are no set things ready to be cut. So it doesn't really serve anyone if we start speculating on all the things that could be cut, because the list is infinite. It could be literally anything. So let's try to refrain from going into in depth for all these potential things that is just speculative at this point. I understand in some cases, there's certain things that are not speculative, that layoffs happened. I get that. That's different. But go ahead. Sorry, Darlene.
That's okay. Darlene, yeah, that's all right. I had Anthony in class. I've been teaching a long, long time. Darlene Netco, Ward 7, 37 years in the classroom, 35 here in Warwick, and taxpayer, just like everybody else, and president of the Warwick Teachers Union. I just want to follow up and make some corrections, though, about our career center. We have a thriving career center. We bring students in from other districts that are paying tuition, so our career center is making our district money. We have pathways in our high schools. The only problem is other districts have the same pathways, but we got on board a little afterwards. And because RIDE won't count anything as substantially similar, we still have to pay to send kids to other schools. Hopefully we can rectify that with RIDE. It's a very complicated issue, and a lot of our budget, unfortunately, goes to paying tuition in these other schools, and the money follows the kids. So, and they take the money, our per pupil cost, and our per pupil cost is based on the fact that our district pays Social Security, and thank goodness it does. And that's why our costs might be a little higher than some neighboring districts that don't pay into Social Security. But I have a question. Because I did read the budget documents carefully, but I could not find what is the local appropriation for the city side of the budget. I found the local appropriation for the school side, and then, of course, that 2.5% increase that's printed in the budget document includes the state aid. And so, as printed in the budget document, the increase to schools was only 0.2%. So, obviously, sitting here tonight, I was happy to hear that the mayor has put more money into the school budget. And I think our schools could use a little more. And that's why I would also like to do a little more speaking. But I would like to know what the local appropriation for the city side is.
Do you have a general fund budget in front of you?
I have an abbreviated portion. What page would it be on?
It's on page 46.
After getting on in years, have to put the glasses on.
Yep, page 46.
It's right there. It's right there on page 46. It says city expenses.
Yeah.
Except you'll have to reduce that by the 178, I think it was, that the mayor reappropriated. So if you reduce that and move from city expenses to school department, just reallocate that over.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Now, a couple of topics that came up as it relates to the school budget. Breakage. The fact that you can count on some people retiring, they're at top step, and then you can count on new people being hired at a lower step. Unfortunately, as Nikki just referred to, Gina changed that for us all. I think I heard someone over here say that we only have 3 first step teachers in the district, and that is thanks to Gina. So you cannot really rely on breakage anymore. You can't even rely on teachers retiring anymore and planning to retire. The whole retirement system is different. It's based on when you reach a certain age, and that age for everyone is different. There's the rule of 95, but there's also another scenario for older people who have been around a lot longer time, like me. And there's a different calculation there. There's a sliding scale between ages 59 and 67 as to when a teacher can retire. So we are going to have 67-year-old, you know, kindergarten teachers. And we currently do have 67 and older teachers because of Gina. So unfortunately, you cannot rely on knowing when someone's going to retire, and you can't rely on breakage. You also can't rely on knowing exactly how retirements are going to affect the entire district. We do have positions being cut based on retirements. A math teacher is retiring from Pilgrim. That position's being cut. But we also have some special ed elementary positions being cut. In the meantime, there are some special ed classrooms opening. As Mr. McCaffrey said earlier, it has to do with student need. Where is the student need? And if we need an AAP classroom to open or an IASE classroom to open, if we need a TA for a one-on-one with a student that's in an IEP, you have to provide it. Here's the point where I show up every year and I provide a little historical context also. Let's keep in mind that our poor schools have been underfunded. Not any of you people are responsible, but going back to the Great Recession, this city underfunded the schools 5% below maintenance of effort and never returned it. The only city or town in the entire state. And then, on top of that, due to a previous mayor and a previous school committee chair, the schools were paying the interest on an older bond. In order for the bond money to be released, the mayor made this plan with the school committee chair. So the school budget started off with $1.5 million before anything else. And we closed and consolidated schools in 2016 and 2018. 72 teachers were laid off 1 year, 65 teachers another year. A previous superintendent eliminated elementary science and elementary guidance. A previous superintendent eliminated our marine environmental program. I found out one of our budget commissioners was a participant in that program. Wouldn't that have been a nice pathway for our students to have? But we don't have it. It's gone. Once something's gone, it doesn't come back. That was very short-sighted. And we have to worry about now what kind of decisions we make that might turn out to be short-sighted. Yes, the schools are a large part of the city budget because the schools have the most employees, the schools have the most buildings, because the schools serve the most clients on any given day. And there's much talk about reduction in student population. Well, yes, the student population has been reduced, but so has the teaching population. We've lost classroom teachers at a very large rate, but at the same time, we've gained support professionals. We used to never have a nurse in every school. Nurses had to go from school to school. There's a nurse in every school now. We used to have a social worker in charge of a high school, a junior high, and the feeder elementary schools. Now we have two social workers at three of the high schools, one social worker at three of the secondaries, one social worker at the other, and enough social workers to split the time between the elementaries. We have school psychologists. We have special educators. We have OTs, PTs, librarians, and so on. And all of those WTU personnel figure in when you look at the entire number, right now 865. And some people like to do calculations. Oh, you have so many more pupils per teacher. Well, that's not classroom teacher. That's counting all of the professionals that are in the WTU. And so it isn't a good plan to look at the total number that way and divide it by the number of students. And it's not a good plan to look at a certain number reduced from one year to another. And by the way, that year is put in there because a previous superintendent kept returning to the 1960s when we had 40,000 students. So that's why we had to have a baseline number, because, you know, yeah, we don't have 40,000 students anymore. When we did, that's why we got Pilgrim and Tollgate and Windman and Drumrock and so on. But we have been right-sized, to use the terminology of a previous superintendent. All of those consolidations, all of those eliminations. So here we are, and we need to properly fund our schools. And tonight's action at the beginning of the meeting was a step in the right direction. The other night, Mr. McCaffrey spoke about us being one city, and I concur. We're one city. Our schools are as just a vital part of this city as any other service. As a resident of Warwick, I gladly pay my taxes. I'm glad that I have police. I'm glad that I have a fire department that's not volunteer. I'm glad that I have my trash picked up. I'm glad that I have a DPW to plow the roads and I don't have to pay for a private plow. You can pay.
You have about 1 minute left, Ms.
Thanks.
Neko.
You can pay lower taxes. My sister lives in Charlestown. They have very low taxes, but she also has to pay for trash and so on and so forth, or take the trash to the dump. They have a volunteer fire department. You get what you pay for. Warwick's a great city. All of our services are great, including the schools. And I want our schools treated the same way that the rest of the city is treated, and not being denigrated or not being attacked. Teachers shouldn't be attacked. Wise union members shouldn't be attacked. Our support professionals shouldn't be attacked. You know, I'm glad Mr. Sinapi made a very fine acknowledgement. The city and the schools are working together. The frequent meetings are something that did not happen under previous administrations, both city side and school side. So let's continue. And what happened tonight is a good start. Ask Mr. McCaffrey what else he needs to properly fund the schools, and please do so. Thank you.
Jeremy Langell, Ward 5, parent. I'd like to enter into the record our PTA statement as well. The mission of the PTA is to make every child's potential a reality by engaging and empowering families and communities to advocate for all children. Every year, the city allocates funding to support the Warwick Public School System. This appropriation funds the essential work of our teachers, school support staff, and administration. In recent years, the city has done a better job of funding our school district. As PTA leaders, and I serve as the treasurer, we are very grateful for this. But recent financial support cannot overcome a decade of chronic underfunding. When tasked with addressing our current financial shortfall, our school committee proposed a budget that eliminates the deficit over the course of 5 years while maintaining essential services. The proposed 5-year budget requires an initial increase in support from the city with yearly decreases for the following 4 years. Having served as a board member or having served as board members for the Warwick Neck Elementary PTA for the past 2 years, we know firsthand the impacts of underfunding our school system. We have now become responsible for funding field trips, including the buses, for all community programming, for most enrichment and cultural activities, and are even being asked to cover items related to the maintenance of the buildings. This is not sustainable or equitable. We are parents, we are volunteers. It is time that we advocate for all children by reminding our city leaders, by coming together to support our public schools and to understand that our public schools are in fact public resources. This is signed by Jessica Bupre, our president, Allison Palm, vice president, myself, the treasurer, and Natasha McCluskey, the secretary, and we're the board members for the Warwick Neck Elementary PTA in Ward 5. I'd also just like to say personally, we've heard a lot of conversation tonight about taxpayers. I'm a taxpayer. From my view, underfunding our school district is irresponsible, and as a taxpayer, it deeply offends me. I encourage the city council and this and our mayor, thank you for already doing this good work tonight, to prioritize our students and our children. Thank you.
Jacob Maduro, Warwick resident, Warwick graduate. I have two main comments. I'm gonna start off with addressing a comment made by my councilman at Lattistore. He stated that, in his opinion, the lion's share of the financial issues being asked for those taxpayers of Warwick to handle. Just rough numbers, a member of the public accused that teachers couldn't do math, as one of my colleagues suggested. So just some basic math, $5 million in cuts, a little more than $3 million increase in state aid from the state of Rhode Island, and around a $4 million ask. I don't know how $4 million is the lion's share or 12. It's not even a simple majority, never mind a supermajority, but I digress. My main comment is regarding what could have happened tonight if the schools did not get any funding, and what we might still see as a result. In recent years, the city has prioritized the school department, its students, by increasing funding year over year. This corresponded with increased test scores, a renewed morale, and a building boom across the city, and the increased tax base that comes with that. For the first time in recent memory, Warwick is on the rise, and this is no small part due to the changing tides of our school system. Families are moving to Warwick, families are staying in Warwick. This year's proposed budget would undermine the actions and prior wisdom of this council in previous years. Its effects would run counter to the growth made by the school department over the same period of time. In the light of this of last year's is deficit, this original proposed budget would be setting up the school department for failure. Now, it should be noted that this is just not any department. This is not a department made up of administrators, teachers, TAs, and custodians and secretaries. Its impacts are far more wide-reaching and long-lasting. It's made up of approximately 8,000 students, 8,000 futures, 8,000 deserving individuals. They're not just a name, a number, or a face. They have, each one of them has their unique challenges, their own struggle, and their own set of lived experiences. Each of them have their own goals, dreams, and aspirations. By extension, this proposed budget would be setting each and every one of them up for failure as well. As I stated before in my original comments, cuts have already been made. As Superintendent McCaffrey stated, over $3 million in staffing, which is over 40 positions. In addition, there was over $2 million in non-staffing expenditures eliminated. Now, another $4 million in cuts, which I'm glad to see might not happen, on top of the $5 million that have already been enacted, would place everything on the table, including sports, extracurriculars, and much more. As a teacher that goes to every game, every concert, and every play, I see firsthand the impact that these cuts would have. It gives students a purpose, an outlet, a sense of belonging, which impacts students' individual well-being and, by extension, their academic progress. Look at the impact that these proposed cuts for us to the budget and the effects that they could have on our incoming senior class, and put yourself in their shoes. Imagine if they were your child. Sports, that would deny Friday night lights, deny senior nights, deny a chance at being a team captain. Everything that they have worked for or would be pulled out right from under their feet. The same feet that were never against the field, court, or rink of the sport they love. Our music program would deny students a last concert, denied a solo, denied us one last chance to showcase their passion and love to their family, friends, and school community because the court enclosed 1 year too early. Cutting extracurriculars would impact drama, denying a last play, denying one last bow, denying a chance at a leading role, and denying one last bravo. Now think if that was your child. But in some ways they are. They are your constituents, and you are their representative, and at the end of senior year, they can vote. Traditionally, such budget cuts and its corresponding blame would be placed at the hands of city council and the administration. But due to recent actions proposed and passed by this mayor and approved by this council, such power has been stripped away from the very elected body that is charged with overseeing the schools. Therefore, public accountability would be laid at the feet of those who established the budget commission, who coincidentally are the very people who can prevent this disaster from ever occurring. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sammy Davey, and I graduated from Warwick Vets as class president in 2011. So I was here in 2010, speaking again, trying to save sports at the time. Now that I am a special ed teacher in the district, I'm seeing things a little bit differently. So this is my first year in the city that raised me, but it is also my 10th year in special education, and this has been the most important year of my career because I'm back in Warwick Public Schools. If you watched the school committee last week, you saw the Bridge program, which is our special education program for students aged 18 to 22. If you didn't watch it, you can go onto the Warwick Public Schools website, and we are underneath special services. So I am coming up here to talk about the cuts in general. I am mentioning that it is my first year in Warwick as a special educator, and yes, my job could be on the line, but it's what my students have gotten this year. We have over 20 students in the program, and that is in our community. They are all in Warwick Public Schools. We have come into this building. We have been around Appanag. We have been everywhere in the city, and I'm afraid of what any kind of cuts would do to that program. So I would be doing an injustice to my students, who I teach to advocate for themselves and really focus on self-determination every single day, and I won't do an injustice to them tonight. I need to share that even though there's a lot of talk about money being spent on special education, all of those students are general education students first. There is no division when we talk about funding our schools, because every single student is our student first. Thank you.